ॐ अग्निचमिनन्दस्य जनार्दनसुलकया चक्षुस्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्वपितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायां ददति सपदन्तिकम् वंशकपदुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैभ्यश्च प्रतितनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Gajendra the elephant, in great difficulty, is offering prayers to the Lord. We read quite a few of his prayers yesterday, last week, and we'll continue with them today. And if Krishna allows, tomorrow we shall complete his prayers. So as we were, as Gajendra was praying, and as we had heard last week, he explained that it is due to the Lord that the material body acts. This is hard for us to conceive of because we're used to thinking everything is going on by my power. I want to scratch my ear, and therefore I scratch my ear. But just like that, In a nanosecond, if Krishna takes away that ability, we cannot even have a simple arm movement. It's called paralysis. We are completely dependent. So it's not only insignificant little entities like ourselves, but even the greatest, Brahma, Lord Shiva, everyone is dependent upon that Lord, Gajendra is saying. Not only does every person depend upon him, but everything depends upon him. He is the cause of all the upadankaran. He is the cause of all the ingredients within the material world, all the cause of all the material elements. And sometimes by his power he manifests everything, and then by that same power he withdraws everything. This is all going on in the universe under his direction. Maya dakshena prakriti siyate sacharana. So when he manifests everything, and then when he withdraws everything, bhutva bhutva praliyate, for annihilation, still during the darkness of annihilation, he exists never in darkness, always in light, in Golok, in the spiritual world. But although he is so prominent, still no one can see him. No one can recognize him. Like an actor on stage, may appear to be one thing, but his actual identity is unknown to the audience. Similarly, Krishna is unknowable unless mudayam nabhijananti lokoyam ajam avyayam. People cannot recognize his actual position because they're covered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So then he's saying the great sages or people practice the vanashrama system in the forest, performing great austerities, and with such perfect consciousness they're able to see everyone as souls equally. They, that same Lord who they can see, even though he's an animal, he says, look, let that Lord, who is the goal of all processes and the goal of all seekers, let him be my goal. So he comes to the material. This is all Gajendra's prayers that we heard last time. He comes to the material world. Why? It's not like when we go to the zoo. It's not like for that reason we go to enjoy and have a good time and see the odd creatures. No, no. When Krishna comes to the material world, it's to fulfill the actual purpose of the material world. Like when the king goes to the prison house, it's not exactly an enjoyment mission for him, but rather he wants to see to the benefit and the betterment of the prisoners and help them, let them understand that there is another life. So Krishna performs his pastimes, a life of freedom, and he demonstrates. So he comes to the material world to perform these transcendental pastimes. He comes as Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, so many different avatars. But in all the different avatars, or when Krishna comes, he is not touched by the material energy, although he appears to be in the material world. He is like, again, a good example is like the king when he goes to the prison house. The prisoners may be thinking, oh, I saw the king in the prison house, therefore he must be under the control of the wardens, like we are under the control of the wardens. But no, when the king comes to the prison house, the whole prison house is resting upon his energy. Not that he is under that energy, that is impossible. So that Lord who comes to this world, he is in everyone's heart, he is the cause of enlightenment, he's the super soul, he's the witness, sarvasya chamridhi sanavisto. And no one can understand him unless he himself, by his own power, allows one to understand. And what will incline the Lord to allow us to understand the personality of Godhead? And that is the bhakti yoga. He's actually fully independent. So it's not that by performing bhakti yoga mechanically he's forced to reveal himself. No. Rather, when he desires, when he sees that someone has pure love for him, then he, if he so desires, by his causeless mercy, he reveals himself. Ultimately, the process of bhakti is dependent on causeless mercy. Although we can, through our endeavor, basically through our sincerity, make us likely recipients of that mercy. But yet it is dependent on mercy. So now, text 12. When the Lord comes, he comes in his many transcendental forms when he descends to this world. And here is the Namashantaya Goraya Mudhaya Guna Dharmani Niveseshaya Samyaya Namo Gyana Ganaya Cha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudev, who is all pervading. So this is an aspect, Mama Angsa Tejo Sambhava, that Krishna is all pervading. Just a fraction of his potencies supporting the entire material world. So he offers his obeisances, Gajendra does, to Lord Vasudeva, who is all pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadev, who protected his devotee. And how wonderful it is that that all pervading Lord, who the impersonalist will say that he's all pervading and therefore he cannot have a form, yet he's Lord Nrisingadev. And this is what Lord Nrisingadev proved. When Haranyakashipu said, you always say that your God will protect you and you're relying on his strength. Well, where is your God? I don't see him. He's everywhere, Father, Prahlad answered. Well, if he's everywhere, is he in this pillar? Well, if he's everywhere, of course he's in the pillar. Well, then I will kill him, said Haranyakashipu, and he began to strike him. But the all-pervading Lord was certainly there in the pillar, but he was there in a form, the form of Lord Nrisingadev. So he comes as in the form of an animal, Lord Varahadev. He's not limited. Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha. He came as Lord Buddha to, out of his great compassion for the animals, to stop the animal slaughter that was going on in the name of the Vedic rituals. And all the other incarnations, so he offers his respectful obeisances. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance within the material world. So he empowers those Daivyesh Gunamayi. He empowers the three modes of material nature so that they act as the prison house of the material world, and so that the material world can work. Everything can work, but it is his power that is making it work, and he's empowering Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and he himself has expanded as Lord Vishnu. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence, he says. So this Brahman is also an aspect of the Lord. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, he accepts innumerable forms to favor his devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they are like the waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. The Lord appears perpetually, continuously, practically speaking. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yadai Yadai Dhamasya Glaniya Bhavati Bharata Bhuttanama Dhamasya Tadapmanam Sri Jamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Krishna says, I descend myself by my own potency. In the material world, there is always a possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Because this is compassion. Because life is so short, and really it is. You don't notice it until you're older. When you're 7 years old, think how many more days before I have to go back to school, and your mother tells you it's 3 days, and you think, oh boy, I have so much time. 3 days seems like forever, or 1 hour sometimes when you're young seems like, but when you're older, the years seem to pass so quickly, quicker and quicker and quicker, and decades even, just like that. It speeds up by the action of the material energy time, and then suddenly you find yourself, it's true, your body is collapsing right in front of you, just as you read and heard and saw that it would, but you never expected it to happen to you or me, but it does. So out of his compassion, Krishna comes because he doesn't want the living entities to misuse the opportunity that human life affords. And what is that? To develop ecstatic consciousness of Krishna. Ecstatic Krishna consciousness, which is the natural consciousness, Svabhavika consciousness of the living entity. So he comes to teach in so many ways and to remove the demonic elements. So he's offering his obeisances to the Supersoul, because from the Supersoul comes all these different incarnations, from Kira Daksha Vishnu, all the different avatars come. And now he's going to explain that the Lord is the Supersoul. Because the Lord comes, and there he is. What's his difficulty? A crocodile has grabbed his leg and causing him so much pain and difficulty. So the Lord comes. It's not unknown or unheard of at all for the Lord to come. Rather, he comes incessantly, Prabhupada. Perpetually was the exact word that Prabhupada used. So then he says that you are the Supersoul. You are the owner of even this body. So therefore, you are not in one sense coming to save me, in one sense. This is your body, it's your property, so therefore please come and take care of your property. This is your body. So he says in text 13, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supersoul, the superintendent of everything. He's the owner of everything. So the owner, not the tenant of an apartment, has the responsibility. The owner has the responsibility because the tenant, he's just there for some time. So all the ingredients of the material world were Krishna's. He created them. Then they are put into a body in the form of a particular body, in this case an elephant's body. And Gajendra, the soul who is that person who is Gajendra, the present, moves in for some time. But it's not his. How can the body be his? He has to relinquish it. He has come in at this particular point and he will leave it. So it is not his body. Although we say, my body, it is only temporarily ours, where it's always composed of Krishna's energy. Bhumira apo nilavayo kamaro bhudevata. So therefore, you are the superintendent. You are the actual owner of the body. You are the witness of all that occurs. And look what's happening to your body that I happen to be living in, O superintendent. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supersoul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the supreme person. You, the origin of material nature and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the supreme complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Thirteen, the Lord says, Chetra gyam chapimam vidhi sava chetreshu bharata. O sign of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Every one of us is thinking, I am this body or this is my body, but actually the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the Supreme Proprietor. The living entity who is also Chetragya, or the knower of the body, is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Chetragya. For example, we may rent and occupy a house, but actually the owner of the house is the landlord. Similarly, we may be allotted a certain type of body as a facility with which to enjoy this material world, but the actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Savadyaksha because everything in the material world works under his supervision. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita where the Lord says, Maya Lakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Charachalam. This material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. From Prakriti, or material nature, come so many varieties of living entities, including aquatics, plants, trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings, and demigods. Prakriti is the mother, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father. Aham Bijapada Pita. Prakriti can give us material bodies, but as spirit souls we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamayavangso, Jivaloke, Jivabhuta Sanatana. The living entity, part and parcel of God, is not a product of this material world. And this, upon this point, that we are eternal souls, we are not products of matter, we are not of the material world. On this point, the Vedic culture built its entire society. And in the West, this point is absent, that we are not the body. We have an eternal life. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. That the soul, I, do not die when the body dies. This is the basic difference, and this changes the entire attitude. If one thinks that he is going to live forever, he'll be very tolerant with his current situation and work on his eternal life. But if one thinks that his body is everything, all in all, then where is he going to put his time and energy into changing his current situation to get as much pleasure from it as possible and to remove all the misery? If one thinks this, as Prabhupada called the spot life, just the flickering life is everything, that's all we have, that's all we know, there'll be no tolerance. There'll just be a great passion to make use of every moment for pleasure, because there's nothing after death. When death comes, as Professor Katovsky told Prabhupada, everything is finished. And therefore, in the Western world, when the body dies, what do? Yeah, before they bury it, what do? Huh? Yeah. Have you ever seen a decorated dead body?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they put it like this, and they try to make him look like he's peacefully sleeping, because that's the concept. He's just taking some rest for some time, forever. Because it so won't disturb everyone's mind. That's basically why. He's gone, clearly gone. It's not going to disturb him. He's moved out of the house already. But where he is gone? Why is everyone crying if he's sleeping? If he's still there, why is everyone crying? Everyone knows that he's gone. He's left the scene. So on this principle, this philosophical point that the soul is eternal and transmigrates from body to body, the great difference between the Western civilization and the Eastern civilization exists. And why does one take one body or another? This is all arranged by the super soul. Sarva yona shukantaya mutaya sambhavatiya tasham brahma mahajyoniya ham bijapadapita. It shall be understood that all living entities and all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material world, and Krishna says that I am the seed-giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatics, demigods, beasts, birds, and all other living entities are sons or parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But because they are struggling with different mentalities, they have been given different types of bodies. Manashastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Thus they have become sons of prakriti, or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the masculine and feminine principle are there. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence. Who will deny this? And the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death, the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is full surrender. Oh Krishna, I am yours. This is indicated by the word nama. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Text 14. So, this body is owned ultimately by Krishna. My Lord, Gajendra explains, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problem of doubts. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. So the material world is a shadow-like reflection of the spiritual world. Prabhupada's purport. To paraphrase this verse, the objectives, this is a paraphrasing of the verse, the objectives of sensual activities are actually observed by you. Without your direction, maybe you can tell this, whoever is singing so sweetly, to please come in and sing for us too, more directly. Without your direction, the living entity cannot take even a step forward. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Chaham Rite Sanavishto Matya Smritim Gyanamaponam Cha. You are situated in everyone's heart, and only from you comes remembrance and forgetfulness. Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Babarti Durga. The living entity under the clutches of Maya wants to enjoy this material world, but unless you give him directions and remind him, he cannot make progress in pursuing his shadowy objective in life. The condition so wrongly progresses towards the wrong objective, life after life, and he's reminded of that objective by you. In one life, the conditioned soul desires to progress towards a certain objective, but after his body changes, he forgets everything. Nonetheless, my Lord, because he wanted to enjoy something of this world, you remind him of this in his next birth. Matya smitir gyanam aponam cha. So it is Krishna that's allowing the living entities to pursue their material life. Not only allowing, but he's reminding them to fulfill their desires. What's the right verse? Yaya tamam prapadyante tamstate. The Krishna is reciprocating, and then matya smittim aponam cha. He's gyanam. He's giving all the knowledge so that everyone can continue all the picking up from their previous life, the previous desires that they had. So when we're born in this world, the children look so innocent. But it's what really is happening is the seed of all the desires that they've had from their previous life will begin to blossom. Good blossoming and poisonous fruits will come from those seeds. So the child is actually not innocent. His non-innocence in the beginning is quite dormant. But gradually, the body will grow to facilitate his fulfillment of his desires. And this is going on by Krishna's grace. So if we desire to love and serve Krishna, and that becomes a burning desire within our consciousness, that desire will actually consume all the material desires like fire, consumes so many different seeds and makes them unable to fructify. Because the conditioned soul wants to forget you, by your grace you give him opportunities, life after life, by which he can almost perpetually forget you. This is the paraphrasing of this verse. Therefore you are eternally the director of the conditioned souls in the conditioned state, and also he's the director of all souls, even those that are free ultimately. It is because you are the original cause of everything that everything appears real. The ultimate reality is your Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. 15. So he is causing everything, even for those who don't believe in God. He is still giving them the facility for their disbelief. This is his mercy. So he is causing everything, and then the question is always asked, by someone struggling with the concept of God, if he is causing everything, who is causing him? What is his cause? So Gajendra now will make a comment on that in his prayers. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. That's impossible! Everything that we see has a cause. So how is it that he has no cause? That's impossible. It contradicts experience. Yes, it is impossible for anything in the material world to not have a cause. Everything in the material world is dependent on its cause. And Therefore, Krishna is called the independent Lord. And that is the definition of God, that He is the cause of all causes, and He Himself has no cause. And it is materially impossible. And He has inconceivable power, or else what is the meaning of Him as being God? This is janmadyasyattaha, that everything emanates from Him. And yet, He is the eternal Lord, that nothing, that He depends on nothing and everything depends on Him. So this is wonderful. He is wonderful. He is most wonderful. This is inconceivable. Yes, He is inconceivable. So inconceivable, most inconceivable, especially when He comes to Brajadham as Krishna. Most inconceivable. So you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are the shelter of Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Everything is coming from Him. Even these systems or methodologies or paraphernalia for understanding Him is coming from Him. That is His mercy. Otherwise, everything is dark. Darkness means ignorance. So He gives light. Krishna Surya Sammaya Andhakar. And that light of the Shastra, Guru Parampara system, etc., the sadhus, they remove the darkness. Because it is you who gives liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. So all the light is coming from Him, so therefore the devotees, the transcendentalists, take shelter of God, of Krishna, who is the source of everything. The illusion of the living entity, as we heard in the last verse, and the continuation of the illusion even, He's giving that facility. It is not the devil. It is Him, Krishna, out of His mercy. Because we don't want to be with Him, because we'd rather be in hell than serve in heaven, be free in hell than serve in heaven. Wonderful. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Gajendra says. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as the wonderful cause. He is wonderful in the sense that although there may be unlimited emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, janmadyasyataha, He always remains complete. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishyate. In our experience in the material world, if we have a bank balance of $1 million, as we withdraw money from the bank balance, gradually diminishes until it becomes nil. However, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is so complete that though innumerable personalities of Godhead expand from Him, and each one of them have unlimited potency, still He remains the same personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishyate. Therefore, He is the wonderful cause. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. Ishwara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Nanadir Adya Govinda Savakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. Therefore, He is the one to be taken shelter of. Text 16. So we don't see Him as the original cause. He is awarding our desires so we can stay in the material world and circumvent Him. He is the shelter of everyone, but yet we don't see Him. Why? Text 16. My Lord, As the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So our eyes are covered. It's not he that's covered, but our eyes are covered. Our consciousness is covered. Our minds are covered. The pure mind of the living entity is covered with material desires to be the center and enjoyer, and therefore we can't see him. But those who have pure minds, great devotees who have pure minds and devotion, the Lord personally comes. By his causeless mercy, he comes to those who have pure hearts. Therefore, Gajendra offers his obeisances. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read some. In Bhagavad Gita 10.11, it is said, Tesham evanukam partam aham agyanajam tama nishyam atma bhavasto gyana dipena vaspata. For a devotee who has taken the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, the Lord gives spiritual enlightenment known as gyana dipa by special mercy from within. Gyana dipa means the light of knowledge. It means the light of knowledge destroys ignorance or tama or illusion. What is the first illusion? That we're the body. And that everything connected to the body is ours. The jnana dipa is compared to the fire hidden within a rani wood. To perform fire sacrifices, great sages previously did not ignite a fire directly. The fire would be invoked from Arani wood with mantras. They would say mantras and the fire that's already in the Arani wood would come out. Of course, there is fire in all wood, but this special wood, this Arani wood, was used for sacrifices because the fire can be ignited or brought out by mantra. Similarly, all living entities are covered by the modes of material nature. And the fire of knowledge can be ignited only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one takes him within one's heart. So vai mana Krishna paradavindayor, if one takes seriously the lotus feet of Krishna, who is seated within one's heart, the Lord eradicates all ignorance. By the torch of knowledge, one immediately understands everything properly by the special mercy of the Supreme Lord and becomes self-realized. In other words, although a devotee may externally not be very well educated because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him enlightenment from within. So wonderful. So he comes into the pure hearts, the pure minds of the devotee and reveals himself. Jnana dipena. Masvata. Text 17. So he's saying, you can come. Now he says, please come. Here I am. I'm surrendering to you. I have no other shelter other than you. This distress has caused him this, to surrender. Prapanam. So Gajendra says, since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, unto you who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge. And you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Read from the second half of the purport. In this material world, everyone is a pashu. What does pashu mean?
Animal.
Because of his bodily conception of life. So he's saying, Since an animal such as I have surrendered unto you, you are supremely liberated, certainly release you from this dangerous position. So Prabhupada is saying that everyone in this material world is an animal. Dvipada, pashu, two-legged animals. But why? Because we have no more knowledge than an animal has. Identification with the body, and therefore all our endeavors are eating, sleeping, mating, defending like an animal, just to keep the species going and enjoy what we can. Animal life. Human beings have the special facility of an opportunity to inquire about the purpose of life. How many people are inquiring? And out of those who are inquiring, how many people like the answer that they get after they inquire? They want to enjoy. If it conflicts with enjoyment, no. Give me another answer. Yes, yatma buddhi kunapa tri datu ke sradi kalatra disu bhomi ijadi yatita buddhi salalei nigakarjit dhaneshu avikeshu sa eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, one who considers the byproducts of the body to his kin, to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Practically everyone, therefore, is a pashu, an animal. And everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he's always trying to deliver us. Ishvara Savabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtiti. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, "Buri kurunaya namo alayaya." It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Buddhi Kurunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition life, from this miserable material condition of life, and he's taking us back home, back to Godhead. So he's Buddhi Kurunaya, he's unlimitedly merciful in this regard. Sometimes we wish he was a little more merciful. But how to evoke a little more mercy from him is possibly the question we should be asking. Look what Gajendra is doing. And look what it's taken him. Look what it's taken for him to be praying so sincerely. Kunti Devi was praying for a distressful situation so that she could be calling out, or that Krishna wouldn't be absent from her. Would we be so brave or so sincere to pray that Krishna takes away everything and makes us fully dependent upon him? We can romantically think, yes, I want Krishna so much, but are we so brave to pray in that way? What are we attached to? So many things, from our health to our youth, to our possessions, to our intelligence, to our conceptions. And if they're based on illusion, they're actually harmful to us unless we use them in Krishna's service. they're harmful to us. But yet we're attached to them and we identify with them as ourselves. So look what it took Gajendra to want to give up all his concepts. And because he was so pious, fully pious from previous lives, when in a great distressful condition, he took shelter of the Lord and prayed fully and sincerely and surrendered to him. Therefore he's described here as Buri Kurunaya. So therefore it says Harisha Tadanam Sanai. When Krishna is really, really wants someone, really pleased with him, he puts him in a condition like Gajendra. So therefore, in India, people are very hesitant to worship Krishna. Fearful that what happens if he becomes pleased with me, and then I'll be ruined. Better to worship some demigod or anything other than that. Terrified. Harisha, Tandaram Sanai, his dear devotees, the Pandavas, look what he did to them. His own mother, Devaki, and father, Vasudev, he had them in prison for years, if he's the ultimate cause of all causes. So people are very hesitant. But the devotees actually aren't hesitant. I remember one time years and years ago, in the early 80s, I was walking with Satsup Maharaj. And he had just gotten back from Mayapur. And he was saying that, I remember he had said that he had come back from the GBC meetings in Mayapur. And he was saying that one day he was praying to Krishna that whatever you have to do to him. Bring me to him, to you. And the next day he got completely sick, he said. And he said, sometimes we don't like the garland of mercy that Krishna gives us. We want a garland, but we don't like the particular garland he gives us out of his mercy. So we were walking and I said to him, when I was young, a young devotee, I would have unhesitatingly prayed, O Krishna, do whatever is necessary to bring me to you. But now I'm more experienced in life, and I'm fearful to pray like that. Is that Maya? That's what I asked him. So he looked at me and said, yes. Very simply. Yes. Okay, Krishna, you can take away some things. I'll give you the list. My old tape recorder, CD player. It's broken anyway. You can take that. The car, okay. But I wouldn't mind a better one. But maybe I can borrow someone else's. But there's so many things that are not on that list. But Krishna is Buri Kurunaya. Unlimited, always trying to bring us. And ultimately, everything that we're attached to on the material level, whether it's on our list or not, he's going to take from us the time of death. And if we want to hold back and not give it to him, oh, we're going to be in anxiety. I read in the new BTG, there were some articles about remembering George. Did you see that one yet? Yeah, about George Harrison. And Shyama Sundar quoted one of his songs, George Harrison's songs, about many, many years or lives we spend, many lives are spent crying until we learn the art of dying. What makes us cry is that we're losing things that we're very attached to in the material world, things that are not us, but we identify with as us, and we're very attached to them. So many years and lifetimes we will spend crying until we learn the art of dying. Dying means, okay, Krishna, Ram Ram, Haribo, Chalo, it's yours. It's yours anyway, it was yours, even the body was yours. Take it, okay. But if we're attached, we'll cry deeply and heavily again and again and again and again. 18. My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to material concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Only the liberated souls can continuously think of Krishna. And Gajendra is saying, but I can't due to my attachments. But anyway, you are the Supreme Controller. It is you who's in control. So therefore I offer you my respectful, humble obeisances, because things are out of my control. My own ability is out of my control even. 19. So please, he's saying, bestow upon me the benediction that I'm requesting. 19. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. We'll read from the last part of Prabhupada's purport, and then we'll read one more verse and purport. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. So it is not bad to be ambitious. But it's the quality of ambition, good or bad, that is either makes it good or bad. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received the spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, since Gajendra, king of the elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger and indirectly from the present danger of material life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? Text 20:21. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord worship him in full surrender and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. They are always merged, thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. They just want to serve. This is purity. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. He is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances to him. Prabhupada's purport. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnanakama anavritam anakulyena krishna anashilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord, Supreme Lord, prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer, there is also regret. So this is actually praying in a dangerous situation is not against pure devotional service. And in the verse, Anyabhilashita Sunyam, that is the difference between Anyabhilas and Anyabhilashita, the two Sanskrit words. Anyabhilas means no other desire. And Anyabhilashita means more in natural consciousness, not in an emergency or dangerous situation. There's no other desire. So it's liberal in the definition too. So Anyabhilashita Sanyam. But in such a prayer, if one is in such a situation, there is also regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Interesting. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by hearing, chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy. This is bhakti yoga. And when we have mind that's affected by the modes of material nature, we look for so many other things to do. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. That is actually being seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of bhakti yoga is the spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya shaktamana parta yogam yunjam marasraya asam sayam samagramam yata gigya yatsyasitachranu. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. Okay. Stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.